May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 771. 771. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Hymn 771.
Thank you. us read together from the Holy Word of God in Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word.
Let us now sing hymn number 701. 701. When my dear Jesus hides his smiling face, nor lets me feel the unction of his grace, I feel my loss, nor can my spirit rest, till with his lovely presence I am blessed. Hymn 701. Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, we do desire to bow before thy great majesty. As the dear apostle says, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Lord Jesus, we come to thee in all our need, in all our felt insufficiency, our sinfulness. We confess our wanderings, our backslidings, our ill manners in this wilderness journey. Or we pray to be washed in the blood of Jesus, to cleanse us from all our sin. We pray that we may be renewed in the spirit of the inner man as we gather round thy word tonight. And that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us. May we be led of the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that they are the sons of God. Without thy heavenly power, O Lord, no sweets the gospel can afford. No drops of heavenly love will fall. Blessed divine Spirit of truth, we pray for thy heavenly power, for thy divine unction, for the shedding abroad of the love of Christ in our hearts. We pray that thy word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, to guide us in that right way. And he led them forth by the right way unto a city of habitation. Lead us in that right way. O graciously bless us with light and understanding in thy word, that it may be with us, as the dear apostle himself says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Oh, do grant that it may be so. We read also, Lord Jesus, then opened he to them the scriptures. Oh, gracious God, come and open the holy scriptures of truth unto our soul, even tonight, that we may behold wondrous things in thy law. And may it please thee, most gracious Lord, to grant those divine drawings of our eternal Father, drawing us unto his best beloved and all glorious Son, for none come except the Father draw. Oh, to know that sweet drawing tonight, that divine leading, that heavenly power, that precious unction to rest upon our spirit, lift us out of self, lift us above self, take us into the realms of the Spirit. Grant, Lord Jesus, thy presence here in the sanctuary. Maybe there's one and another that have come here tonight with the desire of that dear woman, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I should be made whole. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst graciously stand in our midst, that we may hear thy voice, that we may see thy countenance, for thy countenance is comely, that we may behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, that we may behold him in our wretched room and place and stead. Gracious God, do incline thine ear, we humbly beseech thee, and do bless us with precious faith. Blessed Spirit of truth, work faith in our hearts, that faith that worketh by love. Give us real repentance, godly sorrow for sin. Oh, most gracious Lord, we pray that it may be so here at this evening hour, that we may behold our beloved, that we may be enabled to say, my beloved is mine, and I am his, that we may behold by faith Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh Lord, this is what we need, to lift us out of ourselves, to look to Jesus firm and strong, mercy joined with power. Help us to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, help us to cleave to thee, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from sin, from its power, from its influence. Deliver us, O Lord, from the temptations of Satan, whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive, or whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour. Deliver us from his power, from his influence. Fulfill that precious promise. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And Lord, though sin lives in us, may we not live in sin, but may we live to him that died. May we be surrendered to the crucified one. O gracious God, do incline thine ear. Do make us more spiritually minded. Do set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Oh, that we may behold the glory of Christ, even as we read in thy word, and we beheld his glory, at the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hear us, Lord, we humbly beseech thee, and bless us here at this evening hour for thy great name's sake. We pray for our brethren, the deacons, that needed grace, wisdom, and help may be given them in all their responsibilities and in the path that thou hast caused them to walk in. Do graciously be a guide, a director. We do humbly pray thee. We pray, O Lord, to be delivered from an evil heart of unbelief. Only thou canst deliver us. Give us those clear views of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us to feel the eternal love of our eternal Father in him. We do humbly beseech thee, my God, my Father, blissful name. O may I call thee mine. Lord, we pray for each of our brethren and sisters in church fellowship, that thy rich blessing, that thy divine favour may be granted unto them. O Lord, we do pray that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst grant that we may each be able by thy Spirit and by thy grace to love each other, to serve each other, to bear each other's burdens, thereby fulfil the law of Christ. Lord, may it be so. Come and shed abroad thy love in our hearts. We do humbly beseech thee, and make one in our midst. We do pray, most gracious Lord, for the whole of this congregation, that thy blessing may rest upon them, that the little babes and the children may be blessed of thee in their young and tender years, that the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, may be given unto them, that the young friends, as they stand on the threshold of life journey, we pray that thou wouldst bless them and undertake for them. Bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. Bless them with light and understanding in thy word. Graciously lead them forth in that right way. We do humbly beseech of thee. Be with them, O Lord, in all the paths of providence. make a way where there seems no way, and graciously make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain. For thy great name's sake, we do humbly beseech of thee. Lord, we pray for those that are away or not able to be with us at this evening hour, that thy blessing may be upon them where they are. We pray for those who have no desire to meet on the week evening service. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst graciously grant a desire in their hearts to be among thy people. Numbered among them would I be, now and for eternity. We pray, most gracious Lord, for those of us in the evening time of life journey, that thy blessing, thy favour may be granted unto us, and that we may be prepared for that great change which shortly must come. Oh, do hear us, Lord, we humbly beseech thee. Send out thy light and thy truth into this village, the surrounding villages and hamlets. Gather in precious souls. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. O Lord, we do beseech thee for thy great name's sake. Remember thy servants as they come in and out among this people, and graciously help them. Grant that they may dip their foot in oil, be made acceptable unto the brethren. Grant them a living, settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them, to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. O Lord, we do pray that it may be so. We thank thee for every mercy, for every favour, for every blessing, which freely flows through Jesus' precious blood. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the Son of God, the holy life he lived as a man here, made of a woman and made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. We thank thee that in him the law has been fulfilled and honoured and magnified, and life and immortality is brought to light in the gospel. We thank thee that he suffered and bled and died for our sins and rose again for our justification, and has now bodily ascended into heaven and sitteth at thy right hand, gracious God. We thank thee that such an high priest have we, who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, we do thank thee, and we wait for his appearing. For he has promised to come again and exhorted us to let not our hearts be troubled. O most gracious Lord, do hear us now. In heaven, thy holy dwelling place, do come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Do grant a word in season, a word in power. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 895. Awful is thy threatening, Lord. Let me mark the solemn word. What the righteous ruler saith, wages due to sin is death. Hymn 895.
Thank you.
Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the sixth chapter in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. And we will read verses 17 to 20 for our text. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In the Hebrews, the apostle very beautifully sets before us the priestly office of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, as he terms him, our great high priest, the mediator between God and man. In the beginning of chapter 5, he says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. You see, but then he goes on and he says in verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son. Psalm 2, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, which is Psalm 110, that thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So in a very sacred and precious way, he sets before us the glorious person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. We read of him in the prophecy of Isaiah as the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the glorious person of God manifest in the flesh. As we read in the first chapter of John, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You know, and that wonderful redeeming love and power and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Almighty and the Eternal Son of God. Here in Hebrews chapter 13, he's called Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He's eternally the same. And here in our text, he speaks of immutability, that there's no possibility of him changing his mind or turning away. He cannot change. He's the eternal God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love that what the hymn writer puts so beautifully. If once the love of Christ I feel impressed upon my breast, the mark of that celestial seal can never be erased. That the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, we read in the Word of God. And this is wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. So this is a word addressed to the heirs of promise. You might say, who are the heirs of promise? That they are chosen before the foundation of the world. They are chosen by the eternal Father, redeemed by his only begotten Son, and sanctified by the Holy Ghost. They're the heirs of promise. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. The substance of all those promises is Christ. And his eternal love, and his eternal power, and his eternal grace, his ability to save. As he says in the following chapter, in chapter 7, it says in verse 24, but this man, what man? The holy God man, the man Christ Jesus. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For who? The heirs of promise. He makes intercession for them. That's a beautiful word in Timothy, isn't it? There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man. Notice the emphasis. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That, of course, is quoted here in the last verse. Even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's quoted through several times in the chapter 7. Of course, it's a promise that was given in Psalm 110. That the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, a priest forever, an eternal priesthood. Right through the Hebrews, he continually compares the priesthood of the Old Testament. Remember, the Hebrews was written to the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, specifically to them. Hence, he deals with the types and the shadows of the Old Testament and what they represented, the glorious person. What they pointed to, the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ and his one sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. It very beautifully describes it here in the Hebrews. And, you know, what I've always found so very sweet is that in those types, in those shadows, and, you know, the godly Israelites, by the Spirit's teaching and opening, they saw clearly the day of Christ. They saw clearly the sacrifice of Christ. They saw clearly by faith the blood of Christ. They saw it in the sacrifices and offerings of the Old Testament. They saw the day of Christ, the coming of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. They saw it in types and shadows. Not so clear as we see it, but they still saw it. They still believed it. They still lay hold of it. It was made so precious to them. Christ was made precious to them. Just as he's made precious to his people today, we have a greater light because Christ has been, because Christ has performed all the types and shadows of the Old Testament. They are fulfilled in him. He's fulfilled the law. It's fulfilled in Christ. He will magnify the law and make it honourable. That's what Christ has done for his people. You know, the law to the living child of God, when the Holy Spirit makes it a living law, it's the sentence of death. It's the sentence of death. The law made nothing perfect, we read in the Word of God. And we read in Romans chapter 8 that the law was weak because of the flesh. The law in itself is not weak. It's God's holy, righteous law. But our flesh, our inability to fulfill its holy commandments, that's where the weakness is. Because of our fall in Adam, because we're each born in sin and shapen in iniquity, it is that fall in Adam that has left us with a total inability to fulfill, to magnify or to honour God's holy, righteous law. We're fallen. We're sinful. We cannot do it. If there's anybody here and you're trying to do it, I remember particularly in my very early days, and especially when under the law and under its solemn sentence, trying to fulfill it, trying to make myself better, trying to make myself more acceptable to God. But, you know, it's an impossible task. You can't do it. One hymn writer says, "Now nothing merely human's right." And absolutely true that is. You know, it's a great mercy when the Holy Spirit teaches us our weakness, our insufficiency, and our poverty, our inability to do. Our inability to do, because that is the law. Do this and live. Break this and die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the law. That's what the law was given for. It wasn't given to give life. And if you're looking to the law to find life, you'll never find it. We look to Christ, the fulfiller of the law, God's holy, spotless, only begotten Son, who was made of woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. And what Christ has done in fulfilling that holy law, in living a life that was perfect, spotless, innocent and pure, our great Redeemer stood. He did no sin. The only man that has ever lived on this earth that did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was born pure. He was born holy. He was born righteous. The only man ever to be born pure, spotless, and holy. And he lived a life that was pure, spotless, and holy. And that perfect obedience of Christ, in the Word of God, it's called the righteousness of Christ. His perfect obedience to the law. That's where the righteousness of the believer is. It's in Christ. It's not in ourselves. What does the apostle say when he writes to Titus? Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his abundant mercy. Not by what we have done, but by what Christ has done. And these words addressed to the heirs of promise and the whole of the Word of God. The gospel is found from Genesis to Revelation, and it's addressed to the heirs of promise. That Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I love those words in the Ephesians. For through him, that's Christ, for through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What a precious thing to have free access unto our heavenly and our eternal Father. It's a very sacred thing. For God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's a very sacred thing when we experience these things, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, you know, friends, it used to puzzle me reading this particular, these two immutable things. What are they? Well, they're found here in the chapter, of course, but it often used to, I think, what are literally these two immutable things? Well, the one is the promise that was, we quoted it already from Psalm 110, the Lord swear and will not repent. That's one immutable thing, the Lord swear. And it says in verse 17, doesn't it? And in verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to them, an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That's one immutable thing, the oath. And the other immutable thing, in which it was impossible for God to lie. That's the other immutable thing. And you know, that it brings so much light on that beautiful word that we've already quoted. That all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Yea and amen. They are divinely certain. So these two immutable things, this the Lord swear and will not repent, that's an immutable thing, and in which it was impossible for God to lie. What that actually means, it's impossible for God to deceive. God cannot lie. God is truth in all its glory and in all its perfection. Eternal and unchanging truth in the eternal God. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. You think of those promises given to Abraham, and Christ himself said that Abraham saw my day. Where in those promises? In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the promise of the coming of Christ, the seed of the woman. And in that place in Genesis, it's narrowed down. When it was given in the Garden of Eden, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. A promise of Christ. But then it narrows down in the days of Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Thy seed shall be as the sand that is by the seashore. Millions and millions of precious souls. The seed of Abraham. You might say, well, Abraham surely in the Old Testament and the seed of the Jews, whereas the apostle makes it clear, not all Jews are of faith. There was a remnant that were. But then it's made very clear in Galatians, in the Romans, that the spiritual seed of Christ is the seed of Abraham. Christian believers are the seed of Abraham. And that is what it's meant. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Not just the Jews. It would be spread to the Gentiles. Every nation, kindred, tongue and tribe and people. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. You think of this eternal covenant. It's spoken of in David, isn't it? The sure mercies of David. They're divinely sure. Though my house be not so with God, yet hath he made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things, and sure in Christ. That's where our hope is. That's where our salvation is. That's where our redemption is. That's what the Apostle Peter says, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That's to whom coming? Who? Christ. To whom coming? A living stone. The eternal rock of ages. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. These immutable things that are found in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. These immutable things. The love of our eternal Father to his people. It's an unchanging love. It's a divine love. It's an immutable love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him to ransom and to deliver his people from sin and Satan's power. Only he was able to do it. Only he lived that holy life. Only he fulfilled, honoured and magnified God's holy law on the behalf of his people. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, our sins and our iniquities were laid on him there. You read in Luke 22, and he, being in an agony, sweat as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Why? Why? Because there was the fulfilling in Gethsemane of that precious word. In the Isaiah chapter 53, he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Our eternal Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was made sin for us. Christ was. I love that word in Corinthians, the second epistle to the Corinthians, and chapter 5. It speaks so beautifully there of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin. He did no sin. But he was made sin. He took our sins and he laid them on his Son Jesus Christ. Hence the agony and the sweating of great drops of blood. So intense was that agony that it forced the blood through the pores of his skin. That tremendous weight of the sin of the whole church, from Adam to the end of time, was laid on Christ. He became our sin bearer, for he, that is our eternal Father. Let us never miss that. The love, the grace, the power of our eternal Father. He hath made him, who our Father, he hath made him to be sin for us. It was a divine act of the Father to lift the sin off of the church. It is what it is spoken of in the Word of God as the doctrine of imputation. It goes both ways. So on the one way, the sin of the church is lifted off the church and it's imputed to Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, manifest in the flesh. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And that is why he was crucified. That is why he was nailed to a cross of wood. That is why he died, or his dying moments of agony and sorrow. Because he was made sin for us. Christ was. And that holy sacrifice of Christ atoned for the sin of the church. The apostle, he says, only the propitiation of our sins. I understand the word propitiation. It's very similar to atonement, but it means the wrath-ending sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He was made sin for us. Only he could do that. The sacrifice had to be holy, had to be righteous, had to be pure, and it was accepted. It was a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savour unto God. And the whole of the church is received in that sacrifice, in our great high priest, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That hope set before us. What is that hope? It's Christ. It's the person, the glorious person of the Son of God, manifest in the flesh. Christ, our sin bearer. His holy sacrifice. A pure, a righteous sacrifice. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. That is like Isaac Watts says in the well-known hymn, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, bears all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. We might have a strong consolation. Where? Calvary. Where the Lamb was slain. Where sin was put away. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy sins from thee, O Israel. I have cast thy sins into the depths of the sea, never to be seen again. On the Day of Atonement, the two kid goats were brought to the sanctuary. And one of them was sacrificed on the altar. Its blood was sprinkled. The other, the sin of the church, was the hands of the high priest were placed on its head, and he confessed the sins of Israel. And that they were laid ceremonially on that kid goat, and it was taken by the hand of a fit man into a land not inhabited, never to be seen again. What a beautiful type of Christ. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It's an everlasting salvation. Now, we might have a strong consolation who have fled. How many of us here in this chapel have fled for refuge in Jesus Christ? A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, the burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. You see, this hope, this refuge. There were seven cities of refuge in Israel. Those cities of refuge beautifully typify Christ. They were places of safety. You see, Christ is a hiding place. He's the hiding place of his people. He's the refuge of his people who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That hope in Christ, our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, the one that is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. You see, when he died for our sins, but what does it say? He rose again for our justification. You know, the evidence, my beloved friends, that the sin of the church has been put away is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Need to be careful speaking hypothetically on divine truth, but sometimes it magnifies the truth to us. If one sin of the church had not been redeemed, Christ would have never risen from the grave. But the evidence that the payment has been received in heaven, the payment of that glorious sacrifice, is that he rose from the grave. He rose for our justification. You know, that word justification, I always think of dear Mr. Wood. He used to speak of justification, just as if I had not sinned. What a beautiful way of putting it. That's what justification means. Just as if I had not sinned. Those sins are put away. Those sins will never be remembered. God has promised it. These immutable things. God has promised it. That their sins and their iniquities, the heirs of promise, I'll remember them no more. They will never be laid at their door. Why? Because Jesus suffered and bled and died and shed his precious blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's a beautiful, comprehensive word, isn't it? From all sin. This is the refuge that is made known. Come then, repenting sinner, come, and trust upon his grace. O what thou wilt. The total sum is cancelled by his death. To whom coming? As unto a living stone. You think of those lovely and beautiful words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, to be united to Christ, you know, my beloved friends, that is the one vital thing, to be united to Christ, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints were everlasting were and shall forever be, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, these promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, it's impossible for God to lie or to deceive. That these promises are divinely certain. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. See, my beloved friends, what we have here is these divine certainties. There's no ifs, no buts. There's no ambiguity whatsoever. They are divine certainties. These are what God has promised. God, who cannot lie, he's promised these wonderful things in his Son, Jesus Christ, which hope we have as an anchor. This is where we cast our anchor, in the glorious person of Jesus, the Son of God. That it has been said in the word of God by Christ himself, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You know, anchored in the finished work of Christ, in the person of Christ. That's where our hope is. It's in the person of Christ. It's in the work that Christ has done so perfectly and so completely. I had an experience about 5 years before I was sent into the ministry. First time that I'd known affliction. And I was brought into a very great physical weakness. I was laid aside for many weeks. And 2 years for the 2 years previous, I'd walked in gospel liberty. It was a most sacred, most precious time when my beloved was mine and I was his. I used to go often, lay my head on the pillow at night weeping because of the love of Christ to me. I wake in the morning and he was still with me. He lay all night betwixt my breasts. It was a most sacred season to my soul. But then affliction came. And in that affliction I came into terrible darkness and bondage, as if I'd got nothing. And one afternoon, in this awful darkness, it was as if I was dropping into a pit and I was trying to reach the sides and I just kept dropping and dropping. And I was reading in the scriptures and I came to that verse in Solomon's Song. My beloved is as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. And the effect of those words was just as if the Lord Jesus put his arms right around me. And that word followed in with sweetness and power. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And you know, as I sat there, it was as if the Holy Ghost turned my eyes back. And it was as if he said to me, now that 2 years of gospel liberty was real. I began to doubt it. He said it was real. But then he showed me I'd become very proud of my spiritual experience. And he also showed me this, that instead of resting on Christ, I was resting on my feelings, my frames and my feelings. And what did he do? He came and took them all away. And then the eternal arms underneath. And you know, friends, it was as vivid as this. He turned my eyes forward. When you go to preach, preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not frames, not feelings. Don't misunderstand me. If you have real religion, you'll have frames and you'll have feelings. But we're not to build on. Feelings come and feelings go. We're not to build on our frames and on our feelings. We're to build on the eternal rock of ages, upon these immutable promises of the eternal God, on the finished work of Christ, on the blood of Christ, on the righteousness of Christ, on the death of Christ, on the resurrection of Christ. That's what we're to feed on. That's what the living soul feeds on. Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, it says at the beginning of this chapter, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works, etc. What's he driving at? You know, sometimes the ministry can do that. We'd be so experimental. Speaking of frames and feelings, etc., and temptations and trials, etc., the laying again of the foundation, is let us move on. Where? To these immutable things. To the glory of Christ, to the refuge of our souls. What he has done. And this will bring peace into your soul. And this will strengthen your soul. When you get a sight by faith of Christ in your wretched room, place and stead. Christ your Saviour, Christ your Redeemer. When you feel in your very soul the preciousness of the blood of Christ. And that you're reconciled to God by that precious blood of Christ. Which hope we have as an anchor. And he says here, sure and steadfast. It's in Christ. It's in his righteousness. It's in his precious blood. It's in the sacrifice of Calvary. It's in his ascension into glory. He led them out as far as unto Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And they beheld him as he ascended bodily into heaven. As he says here in Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest. that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Why? Because we have a precious Saviour who has loved us with an everlasting love, an unchanging love, an immutable love. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, not a fleshly boldness, no, the boldness of faith, resting on the finished work of Christ. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He goes on in the beginning of the next chapter. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, whom Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now he gives us the interpretation of Melchizedek. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. And after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent. You think of Christ. He says, made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Christ, in his human nature, was without father. Christ, in his divine nature, was without mother. Without father, without mother. Made like unto the Son of God. Abideth a priest continually. Melchizedek, our great Melchizedek, whither the forerunner is for us. It's lovely, those little words, for us, isn't it? Who? The heirs of promise. For us. Those that are called. Those to whom Christ is made precious. Christ becomes the altogether lovely one. They say, give me Christ or else I die. Christ becomes the very centre, the very substance of all their hopes and all their desires. Is he the centre, the sum and substance of your hopes and your desires? May the Lord add his blessing.
God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Chapman on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 1068. 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See, I languish, faint, and die. Hymn 1068.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.